Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
All right, good morning, everybody. Happy Tuesday. How you doing, Mark Schlereth?
I'm great. How are you, buddy?
Good, good, good. Well, cold out there this morning. It was kind of frosty, you know, driving in. It's one of those things, you know, when your windshield is not completely, like, crusted over, but it's got just enough there that you're kind of like, do I wait and let it warm up and defrost, or do I just start driving and kind of squint through the little bit of frost there until it melts off in about, you know, 10 minutes?
Right.
Are you a scrape clean guy, or you keep your car in the garage all the time? You're a lucky guy. We don't have that luxury, do we, Rogue? No.
No, but
we're out there cleaning our cars off, scraping. I always feel so self-conscious scraping the windshield as early as we leave in the morning. It just feels like it's like just booming and reverberating throughout the entire neighborhood.
So you don't just turn on the car, let it run for a while, go back inside, or, you know, what do they call that, huffing? You're not a huffer?
I'm not a huffer. No.
Oh, shoot.
No. Hey, these days I don't want to leave my car running anywhere unattended.
Yeah, I grew up in Alaska. I'll look through a tiny little hole.
Yeah.
I'm not above that. Sometimes when I leave here and we get a lot of snow, you know, the snow cakes on the side and you roll your window down a little bit, but you're afraid that all the snow falling in, right? So then you just got a little 4-inch thing to look out of the side of your car. I'll drive like that.
Yeah. I think at some point I'm just like, you know, I just don't feel like cleaning off the snow. I don't feel like scraping the ice off. I'm just going to drive for a while.
It'll fall. It'll eventually come off.
It'll melt. It'll come off. And in the meantime, I'll kind of hunch down behind the wheel a little bit.
Yeah,
look out through the bottom of the windshield.
Yeah,
I'll get there. Yeah. I'm out on the road by myself. Who am I going to bother?
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I'm good with that.
That's my plan. I'm sticking to it.
Okay, good.
It's gotten me this far. Nuggets continue to roll right along as they took on a bad, depleted Memphis team, but still value in that performance. 128-103. Nikola Jokic nearly missed another triple-double as he went for 29 points, 11 rebounds, and an 8 assists. But, you know, because they're giving some of their veteran guys a chance to just kind of, you know, heal up as best they can from some bumps and bruises. Jamal Murray banged up a little bit. Aaron Gordon got the night off, but I tell you, I am very impressed with the way this team, as defending champions, still have been able to go out and develop as many young players as they have. Christian Brown in his second year is playing really well. He got the start, had another 17 points. Peyton Watson seemed to have gotten the message that Michael Malone delivered on Friday about how he only has Reggie Jackson and Christian Brown as guaranteed spots in his playoff rotation. So Watson came alive with 10 points, 9 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, and 3 blocks. So the way that they've been able to carry and wear the bullseye of being defending champs while still developing young players has been, I think, pretty impressive performance by Michael Malone and staff.
I think the young guys, I mean, Christian Brown was great last night. He was fun to watch. Plays with great intensity, great hustle. And like you said, Peyton Watson was good. Jackson, Reggie was good. I mean, their bench is, and you know who's been really impressive coming off the bench who doesn't ever hardly play is DeAndre Jordan. Dude is just the guy's a professional basketball player. And I had totally forgotten about Julian Strother. And then even Hunter Tyson made an appearance last night.
Julian Strother up from the G League. Just in time to give Christian Brown his Gonzaga jersey. So Gonzaga beat Kansas last weekend. So they must have had a bet.
Sure.
And so Brown, a Kansas guy, came walking into the arena wearing a Strother jersey. Not just any Strother jersey. It was the Strother jersey that he wore in the Final Four.
Okay.
So game worn, Final Four. So he wore it into the arena, and then afterwards at the post-game press conference had a Gonzaga sweatshirt on and had Strother's jersey kind of draped around his neck.
Right. Good. Yeah, like, you know what? Again, that's one of those things that just signifies close-knit team, really good camaraderie, guys who, you know, love each other. And you know how guys love each other. we're mean to one another.
Yes, that's how we show love.
Yes. Yeah, we're just really just vicious towards one another.
Yes.
I know something's wrong if my buddies aren't busting my nut.
Correct. Exactly.
If they're not on me, then they're like, okay, what's going
on? Yeah, exactly. What'd I do? Who'd I offend?
Yeah, right. What happened here? I mean, that's, you know, that's just the way we operate.
I'm tougher than Mark. Did you do, because that I always think is fun, that no matter how long you've been in the league, the pros, you still maintain your college allegiance and the college rivalries and the bets that teammates have in the locker room with big games, big college games. Now, you probably didn't get a chance to do any of that going to Idaho.
Right. They're not a whole lot of
big sky opponents.
Right. They're not a whole lot of big sky opponents that you go against.
Hey, big Idaho Montana game this weekend. You want to put a wager on it?
Right. But I will tell you this. You know, I always talk to the young fellas in the league that played at small schools, and so I always monitor that, you know, fairly closely, because you know you have some pride in that, right? And that's a cool thing when a guy goes to a smaller school. So this year I think it was a Saints at Minnesota game. Does that sound right? Yeah, Saints at Minnesota, and the Saints have a little wide receiver who's a great player out of Weber State, Rashid Shaheed.
Okay,
and he's a Weber State guy, and Weber State had just beaten Idaho, and I walked up to him, and I had talked to him before years before, because the year before or whatever I was in New Orleans. And so, you know, we kind of dap it up as small school guys. I just walked over to him and gave him $20 while he was warming up. He's like, what? I go, you know what? He goes, oh, Weaver, you know? He goes, thank you. Yeah, he just took it. So, yeah, I mean, we play that game. You got to play that game.
Yeah. Got to play that game. So, good win for the Nuggets as they continue their inevitable march to the top seed in the Western Conference and home court throughout the entire Western Court.
Caldwell Pope is going to win like Defensive Player of the Year or something, isn't he?
He should be. Let's start there. Let's at least get him on the first team All Defensive Team and then go from there. He probably won't win Defensive Player of the Year. He's just, you know, they'll give that to some really good offensive player who wasn't able to win one of the offensive awards.
Right.
They'll find a way to give him, he's also a really good defensive player as well. So, but I know that Michael Malone has been pushing KCP all season long, trying to get him his just due. Up next is after the events of yesterday and listening to both Sean and George Payton, are the Broncos feeling the impact of the Russell Wilson cap hit when it comes to this? Tell you what that is next.
Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
We're talking about how Julian Strother from Gonzaga, Christian Brown, Kansas. Gonzaga beat Kansas in the tournament last weekend. That Brown had to wear Strother Gonzaga gear into the arena and after the game at the press conference, and how that probably never happened that much to you in the NFL with Idaho and their arch rivals or their big sky opponents or WAC or whoever you guys were playing in. But somebody brought up, Mark, were you proud of the Idaho band filling in for the Yale band?
Well, that's
last weekend.
Yeah, that's what Ivy League schools do for one another. They take care of one another. When you see another Ivy League, you know, being the Harvard of the Northwest, we see another Ivy League school that's struggling, we just go out there and help them. So that's just one Ivy League taking care of another Ivy League. That's how I looked at it. So the Vandals went down to Spokane because Yale, our Ivy League brother, couldn't bring their band with them for their game, so Idaho donned the Yale shirts and went down there and played all the Yale music. So,
how was Yale not able to bring their band out? It's Yale. Something tells me they got a few dimes laying around in their endowment that they could
legacy money
that they could find a way to get the band.
No,
out
I think
to.
I think the band got stuck somewhere.
Hmm.
I think it was I think it was a travel issue.
I see. Okay.
So the Vandies just loaded up, you know, in their it's about an 80-mile drive down to Spokane. They loaded up the band. Man,
boy,
that's just I mean that's just Idaho, baby. That's Idaho.
Other than probably fixing their cars, that was probably the first time ever anybody from Idaho came to Yale's rescue. See what I did there?
It's the Idaho people that run the businesses that hire the Yale graduates.
It's the Idaho people that work in the businesses that Yale creates.
No,
about
not,
that?
No, it's the other
about
way around.
That?
No, it's the C students that end up being the entrepreneurs that, that employ all the
Yale
Harvard
graduates.
Harvard and Yale grads. You know that. It's like FedEx. He got like a C- D+ on that paper.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's Arthur Smith's father.
Yeah, that's right.
Now the offensive coordinator for Russell Wilson.
Seriously, that's the story? He came up with the idea for FedEx and wrote about it in a paper?
Yeah, it was what do you call it, your thesis paper or whatever?
Like an entrepreneurial class or something like that? Yeah,
it was like his thesis for his senior year or whatever, and the professor gave him like a C- on it and said, this will never work.
FedEx!
FedEx, yeah.
Oh, jeez.
The professor who's never done anything but teach, right? He didn't have any actual real world... That's like people who write parenting books that have never been a father or mother, you know? Yes. That's the same type of thing.
Classic line. Those who can't teach. Those who can't coach.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the story behind the FedEx thing.
Huh. How about that?
Yeah.
When this is all said and done, I think I'm going to have to give an apology to Jim Harbaugh. Because remember when Harbaugh came out and said, when this is all said and done and teams get a chance to know J.J. McCarthy and really dive into this kid... Don't be surprised if he's the first quarterback that comes off the board. Well, I still don't think that's going to happen. But now it's sounding like he could be the number two quarterback that goes off the board. I'm not kidding you, Mrs. Harbaugh.
I don't doubt it.
I mean, who's got it better than you guys?
What did I tell you?
Who's got it better than us? Nobody!
What did I tell you?
Yeah, the draft rumors
are...
just to finish this off... Now the draft rumors circulating that J.J. McCarthy goes 2 to Washington.
That I mean, it doesn't surprise me. What did I tell you when we went through this whole thing, you know, and there's so many people that were on me about this, but went through this whole thing of film study, looked at every quarterback, went back and looked at two plus games of every quarterback in this draft. What did I tell you? There was one guy that operates a system that resembles what gets run in professional football. There's one guy that has responsibility at the line of scrimmage. There's one guy that uses multiple formations. There's one guy, and it's J.J. McCarthy. And I think there is an easier transition. There is less to learn because J.J.'s done it. And he's a Michigan man. And we've seen a Michigan man before turn this league on its head.
Yeah, Brian Greasy. Oh, you mean that Brady fella. Ah, okay.
Yes.
I got you.
But Brian was good, too.
Brian was good, too. I'm not, nope. Hey, Brian was solid.
Super smart.
Brian going to be an offensive? Well, is he going to be an OC and maybe is head coaching?
Yeah.
Is that something, I'm sure you've had conversations with him. Is that something he wants to do?
I haven't had that conversation with him, but yes, I'm sure that he wants to eventually become the OC. And then in that system, if Brian Greasy's the OC for a year or two under Kyle Shanahan, he will get a head coaching job. Right? I mean, it's just the way it goes.
Oh, of course.
Mike McDaniel and all those guys, they all kind of go down that road. But yeah. I think so.
So I guess then the question is, if these teams that are interested in moving up, Minnesota, Broncos, Raiders, was it for McCarthy? Is it for McCarthy?
Right.
And if McCarthy is going to Washington, what does that mean? Do these same teams covet Jaden Daniels? Do these same teams covet Drake May to the point where they would want to trade up? Or now all of a sudden do we see these teams stay put?
Well, here's the deal with Washington. And Washington is, you know, I mean, they're doing a good job. Adam Peters over there is their new kind of GM. And you're creating buzz or interest, right, at number two. So you're basically saying, hey, whoa, quit calling Arizona at four. If you want J.J. McCarthy, you got to call us at two.
Okay.
So if you want him, you got to call us at two. And now we're wheeling and dealing because, you know, ultimately for Dan Quinn, they've got a rebuilding project going on there. But if they do that and they trade out of that and they trade to 11, what they'll accumulate or whatever they accumulate, it'll be huge. And if they need to go back into the draft and move up to where Arizona is, they can do that and still make out. You know what I'm saying? So they're in the driver's seat by putting this out there, even if they're not really interested in J.J. McCarthy, but they know a couple of teams really are. Now they're putting it out as number four is no longer good enough, guys. You're going to have to come up to number two if you want this guy.
It's getting interesting. Getting very interesting as we close in on the draft about a month from now. Up next, Morning Brew. We'll hear from Michael Malone, Sean Payton, George Payton. Well, there's too many Paytons, so I just decided to change up one of the names. Morning Brew, coming up next.
It's time for your Morning Brew. Grab a cup of Joe and get caught up on everything you need to know. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
Well, no Jamal Murray, no Aaron Gordon, no problem for the Nuggets who roll over a bad, depleted Memphis team, 128-103. Different guys contributing, all adds up to a good team win from Michael Malone.
That's the way you want to start off a five-game homestand. Very business-like approach, very mature approach. And, you know, we got contributions across the board tonight. And that was really fun to watch. Some guys that, with Jamal and Aaron and Zeke all out, some guys got a lot of minutes that they hadn't gotten in a while. And I thought they all, made the most of those minutes.
Nikola Jokic almost had a triple-double in just 31 minutes of play. 29 points, 11 rebounds, 8 assists. But those other guys that you're talking about, good minutes as you get ready for the playoffs. Reggie Jackson had 15. Christian Brown had 17. Peyton Watson had 10 points, 9 rebounds. Julian Strother back from the G League. He had 14 points. So, yeah, good team win. You get the win. You stay locked in on the number one seed. And you get a lot of young guys, role guys, bench guys, some valuable minutes and confidence.
You know who always has perfect hair when he plays? Gillespie.
Yes, he does,
it's
doesn't
like
he?
Parted. It doesn't move.
No,
it's
it doesn't
like
move. He looks like he's straight out of Mad Men or something.
Right. It's like a plastic Devo wig or something. It just doesn't. I got to look into that.
Yes, please do. Okay. Next on the Morning Brew, Sean Payton talking at the owners' meeting yesterday about the mistakes that teams make when it comes to evaluating quarterbacks.
Oftentimes I see similar mistakes made relative to how that position's evaluated. For the combine, for instance, it used to be 5 and a hitch, you throw the go ball, and now it's let's take 4, 5, let's just see how far. And it's like, gosh, I've seen this story before with Jamarcus Russell. I've seen it over and over again, and we just jump into it.
Ah, wasn't it last week? Caleb Williams had a couple of throws, and people were like, oh, my God.
Right. Oh, yeah.
How far he can throw it.
Right.
Yeah, painful reminder. Jamarcus Russell was the first real, that I can remember, the first real combine phenomenon, right?
Right.
Where people just like, oh, my God, not combine, but pro day phenomenon. Oh, my God, look at that arm. He can throw it out of the stadium.
Best pro day ever, all that garbage. Yeah, and one of the things, just a little nuanced piece there in that sound, where Sean is talking about, used to be throwing on 5 and a hitch. And what he's saying is you're cheating the drill. Like in a game, you can't take 6 and wait for a minute just so you can show off. Look, I can throw it 70 yards with. Right, you can't, in a game, you're going to get your teeth knocked in. You don't have that kind of time. So he's saying people are falling victim to talent. And people in their demonstrations are doing things that you don't do in a game. So why would we evaluate that stuff? I used to get mad. I used to have these conversations with our head strength coach all the time. Why are you making me run 40s? Or 60s? Or if I have to run a 40 in a game, somebody scores. Either us or them. Like, it doesn't do me any good. I would rather do my cardio while I'm working on something that's specific to what I do for a living. You understand it? And that's what Sean's saying is we run a bunch of drills that have nothing to do with football.
Next on the Morning Brew, George Payton, when he was told that Sean Payton had divulged that the Broncos had done a private workout with J.J. McCarthy, said, geez, I wish Sean hadn't said that. Well, sorry, George. Sean's the boss, not you. But anyway, George Payton, how important are these private workouts?
Certainly doesn't hurt. You know, you're going there. You, it's a test for that player. And you know, if they get an A, obviously it's going to help them. If they get a B, you know, and then if they fail, it's not good. You know, so it's a big deal when you spend that much time with the player. And not only you watch them throw, but you put them through a test and just see how they come through. And so it can really help, yeah.
That was funny. I wish Sean hadn't said that.
Yeah, but why not?
Because
find out.
Because they really, really do covet J.J. McCarthy. Oh, they don't want people to know? Or was it a case of
subterfuge?
Was George playing the subterfuge game?
Right.
Oh, I wish Sean hadn't said that.
Yeah. Man, we didn't want that news out. Right? Yeah. Yeah. Man, gee. Am I mad.
Oh, man.
I'm going to have a talk with him.
Oh,
look at my fist. I'm shaking it.
Oh, some team's probably going to jump over us now and give up a lot because they want J.J. McCarthy. Oh, darn.
Just like us.
Yeah. Oh.
Come on, George.
George Payton playing chess when everyone else is playing checkers.
Right.
We've seen it for years now.
Yeah.
Next on the Morning Brew, the Avalanche. By the way, we've got a great week this week at the SAC Ball Arena because it'll just be every night alternating. Nuggets, Avs. And tonight the Avs take over as they'll be skating against Les Habitants. The Blue Blanc and Rouge. Mm. The Montreal Canadiens in town. The Avalanche last night got some help as... Well, maybe a mixed bag of help. One, the Kings beat Vancouver, beat the Canucks.
The Canucks.
So now, the Avs, with the game in hand against Vancouver, a win tonight, they jump over Vancouver for the top spot in the West.
Canucks.
The number one seed in the West.
So they'll have the most points.
They would have the most points.
Okay.
Not the best record, the most points.
Right.
But Vegas won again last night in St. Louis. That was a big game for St. Louis because they could have really put a dent into trying to catch Vegas for that final wild card spot. So while the Avs could jump into the top spot in the West, it would mean
they'd play Vegas.
They'd be on a crash course collision to play Vegas in the first round of the playoffs, which some may be okay with, some may like to avoid.
Hey, I only want the best, Mike.
Yeah. Your Mark Schlereth is not a path of least resistance.
No,
guy.
No. Give me the hardest team. Let us get them out of the way first. Yeah,
It's not that I would be scared of playing Vegas, but it'd be like, wow, you do all this work, you climb all the way to the top of the standings, and your first round reward is the defending Stanley Cup champs.
Right. It is a little bit of a, you know, like your one matchup that maybe people consider just a little bit tougher matchup for you. Like just not the record stuff and the point stuff, but it's just the way they play versus the way you play. It's a little tighter match. But I look at the Avs are just a better team. Right?
Oh, yeah.
And they're just,
oh, no,
and
they're tough. They'll still be favored, and I would still expect them to win, but it's just the kind of matchup that you're like, gee, for earning a number one seed, you know, that's the kind of matchup you expect in the
right.
Second round or the conference finals, not in the first round, right out of the gate. But still, a lot of hockey left to be played, and there could still be plenty of shuffling. Vegas could easily catch. Heck, Vegas could catch L.A. They could catch Edmonton. So things can still remain fluid over the final 10 games of the season. That'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30. A lot to react to. You can, of course, always chime in on the show. RonaldSlaw.com text line 303-713-1043. Up next, we heard from Deion Sanders yesterday about how he's prepared to control where Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter go in the NFL. Well, another prominent NFL voice said, get used to it, folks, because this is just the tip of the iceberg. Details next.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Well, they're getting ready to just talk about it here coming up on Get Up on ESPN. And because it's Deion Sanders, people are paying attention to it. And because of what's happening in college football and the ramifications it could have, the consequences it could have for the NFL that everybody loves and watches like no other sport in this country. So just to set it up again, this was Deion Sanders on a recent podcast when asked where he believes Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter will be drafted in next year's NFL draft.
Anywhere from 1 through 4. One of them is going to be one. Mm.
That's what I'm talking about.
One of them is going to
be into existence.
And the latter one would not go behind 4. Mm. Now, all this is subjective because I know where I kind of want them to go.
Mm-hmm.
And let's not forget Shallow, okay? Mm-hmm. But I know where I want them to go. So there's certain cities that ain't going to happen.
It's okay, you want point?
It's going to be an Eli.
Referencing Eli Manning, who said he didn't want to play for the Chargers, ended up involved in a draft day deal with Philip Rivers. Rivers goes to the Chargers, and Eli goes to the Giants. Well, naturally, it was a topic conversation on ESPN yesterday, and Robert Griffin III, RG3, said, hey, fans, get used to it.
The power shift is coming, so everyone needs to buckle up. All these college coaches have been running to the NFL because they're upset that the college players have a little bit more power and a little bit more say. Well, guess what? Those same kids that they're running away from are the ones that are going to be coming up the ranks and coming into the NFL in the next few years.
RG3 going on to say, hey, if Shedeur and Travis Hunter do this, it's not like they're going to be pioneers. It's already happening.
So Deion saying that either Shedeur or Travis Hunter are going to pull an Eli doesn't surprise me at all. Look at what's happened this year. Caleb Williams goes to the combine, doesn't do anything except for meetings, doesn't even let the medical teams go out there and look at him because he says they don't need to. Marvin Harrison Jr. doesn't do his pro day, doesn't do the combine, doesn't run a 40 because they don't need to. In today's age with the athletes and their mindset, they are empowered. They know that they can control their own narratives. They know that they can be a part of the media while they're still playing.
Does the former player in you like the idea of college players having this kind of power and influence?
There are pros and cons, obviously, to having that kind of influence and being able to control your narrative. I think some of those things are really good. The issue that you get into is there will be a lot of guys that are busy building their brand before they build their careers. And if our RG3 was honest about it, and I know I'm not saying he's not honest about it, but if he was honest about it, I think he would look back on his own career and some of the things he did. Like filming a documentary while he was rehabbing his knee. Because it takes time away. It takes focus away. And I always tell young players this all the time. Now, some of them listen, some of them don't. Build your career, your brand's going to follow. But too many guys are too concerned about all the ancillary things. Becoming a celebrity is important to them. And I understand that. I mean, I get it, and we all fall victim to it to a degree, but you're never going to build more of a celebrity than you will build if your football career is phenomenal. That's where you're going to build the most, because nobody cares about, you know, a guy that doesn't play well but has a big following. I always tell people this all the time. You know what happens to the guy who dies with the most X followers? They bury his ass. He's dead. It doesn't do you any good. So
not doing a whole lot of influencing there, are you?
No, you're not. You can't take those. You don't take them to heaven with you. So you just got to be mature enough to understand it. Now, listen, if the NFL and the executives in the NFL had any onions at all, which they don't, they just refuse to draft guys high. They would start to collude. Well, they won't, but they would just say, listen, man, if you're not going to do what we ask you to do with the combine and all this stuff, you just don't get drafted high. You don't get drafted in the first round. But that'll never happen.
Yeah, but the problem then is that what will end up happening is, okay, maybe they don't get drafted by that lousy team that Shador doesn't want to go play for, but he'll eventually get drafted, and he'll get drafted by a good team,
mm-hmm.
Or a team whose prospects are better than the team that Shador said no thanks to, or Deion said no thanks to, and, mm-hmm. and this is the potential problem, because the NFL, part of what makes the NFL so great is that they have created a model where you can root for a team that's really bad, but everything is put in place to give you a shot at turning around
quickly,
whether it's the draft, whether it's the schedule, but it's designed to lift the teams that are down up and take the teams that are at the top and kind of push them back down towards the middle again. And so the problem is, if these players coming out of college are gaining this kind of power where they just say, sorry, no,
mm-hmm.
well, then the teams that are down are going to stay down. And now you start messing with what makes the NFL special.
And then the NFL will eventually react in the next collective bargaining agreement or whatever, because it's only going to happen. There's only a few players that are going to take advantage of that, right? There's only a few players that are up at the top of the draft enough. But then what does the NFL do? Well, if a guy says, I'm not going to play for that particular team, then nobody's going to negotiate with that team. Eventually there will be some either collusion or it will be addressed in the next collective bargaining agreement, and they'll give some scraps off the table to the players, and the players will be like, oh, I'm starving. And they'll take the scraps, because they always do. It's the fish hook to the mouth, and they'll get their way, and they'll move on, and the cap will keep going up $30 million a year, and, you know, problem will be solved.
I hope it's that simple. I see some storm clouds brewing. Is your bracket busted? Yes. My hand raised. Don't worry. Did they put this contest just together for me?
Did you sign up? I don't need to sign up for it.
Sport Clips presents the Denver Sports Second Chance Bracket. Head to denversports.com/hoops for your chance to win $1,000 and a pair of tickets to every concert and PRCA rodeo event at the Daddy of Them All in Cheyenne. That's denversports.com/hoops. Entry ends before the first game this week on Thursday. Four Down Territory coming your way next.